Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We talk about those essentials that are necessary for success. Success is different in each and every person. What I consider to be success, you may not. I am currently working on a book. You may be working on something completely different, and that's perfectly okay, because we each define what we consider to be success. Your success may be growing the rose of the year, the flower, and you may be looking for certain things like fragrance, appearance, hardiness, disease resistance, whatever the case may be. And to you, that is success. And to me, it is success for you. I don't have to want that. I do want success for you. But the measure of that success is different in each of us. As we have younger listeners, and I sure hope that we have many of them listening to this broadcast, because there is so much that you can learn. School is based on success. School is based on learning, and we have some complex subjects that we're learning. And we learn basically the elements as we go. We add additional elements as we grow. And we can use these later. Sometimes the secret to success is finding out ways that you can use this. When I first started with mathematics in early school, I was ahead of things because my mother ran a restaurant, and I would sometimes operate the cash register. We had talked about the principles. I knew how to subtract from a dollar and know what change to give correctly. My father was a mathematician, but he taught industrial arts, which was bricklaying. I could look at a wall and tell how long it was based on the number of bricks that were in that wall, linear brick that were in the wall, or the number of blocks that were in the wall. Sometimes I faced challenges in doing this, but the average brick was approximately 8 inches. The average block was approximately 16 inches with joints, but it gave me the opportunity to understand those proportions. And I was able to use that. And so I went in with a understanding so much, a jump start. I hated history because what it boiled down to was the fact that we were memorizing dates about something that happened a long time ago that I had no interest in. The people there wore funny clothes. They acted funny. They were talking about subjects that I had no interest in. I didn't understand the interlocking of pieces. I didn't understand civics in terms of who does what. And in many of those cases, it's because my understanding was not there. I didn't need to know the mayoral duties when I was in first, second, third grade. It only started to make sense much, much later. But when we look at fundamental skills that we need in order to succeed, reading is one of the highest that we can have on the list. Reading and understanding, being able to understand questions. And sometimes we read something and we don't fully understand it. Sometimes we have to discuss it. And this goes for adults as well as children. But we have concepts that we often stumble over. And one of the biggest mistakes we can make is when we don't understand something, letting it go. And this is extremely important because when we don't comprehend a subject on its basic terms, we become behind. We start behind. And it is extremely difficult to catch up. It's extremely difficult to catch up. Therefore, parents, students, particularly parents of students in the early grades. South Carolina has a law that you need to be on grade proficiency by the time you're in third grade. Many people don't understand the importance and relevance of that. And so we end up getting behind. When we get behind and cannot read and comprehend, we have an almost impossible task of catching up. It's almost impossible. It's not impossible, but it is difficult. And so what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have the fundamentals under our belt. And in many cases, this affects adults as well, because we read something, we don't understand it, and we let it go because we did not understand it at that level. But it is important for us, extremely important for us to understand. But we have tools today that we did not have in earlier years. And I'm speaking of the internet, for one, and we have people that are willing to help. If there are any ministers listening to the program, and I hope that you are, we have churches. We have people within those churches that are willing to help our kids, to help our adults, and we are paying for that facility 24/7. Whether we use it all the time, is we're paying for it full time. If we could educate our seniors on how to use the internet, how to write letters, how to do whatever, we are that much ahead because we have given something to others that is desperately needed. To our younger children, yeah, they can get on computers and do all sorts of things because it is, at this point, second nature to them. My time on the computer is always a period of a mixture of dread and excitement. Excitement in finding what I'm looking for. Dread in thinking that I'm going to do something to blow this thing up. But I have to navigate a world that is a combination thereof. I've gotten a remote company that allows me to fix problems that I have on the computer. They can fix it remotely. If not, I can take it into a store, and there's no additional charge. These things are available. And sometimes I find that my attitude was as much a problem as anything else, because when I think somebody's trying to put something over on me, I have a tendency to react, and sometimes it is an overreaction. This is particularly true when I go to governmental offices, and I have snooty people up there acting as if I know everything, that if I, as if I am prepared. I don't. And part of the reason is because I am mystified by what's taking place there, one. And then I don't see a person that takes an interest in me and solving my problem. This is also a problem in many retail locations, because I go in and somebody doesn't want to help me because they are having a bad day. If they are having a bad day and turning off the customers, then they don't need to be there. They need to find something that is more enjoyable or whatever the case may be. But understand that when you're there, you are the face of that product. And when you start developing your own product, remember, you are the face of that product. Whether you are in school or not, you need to put forth your best effort. Your best effort, and you need to do it at all times, because this prepares you for your next class. I talked to my son when he was attending an institution of higher learning, and what they did, the model that they did, I think is fantastic, and I wish that I had thought of this or done it when I was in school. They read the chapter before it came up. They took a test, and the test was, How much of this do you understand already? So we don't waste a lot of time talking about things that we understand, or at least the majority of the class understanding. We can focus on those areas where we don't understand. This shows the importance of reading. And where we are reading something and we don't fully understand it, we find that we can go to a different method of learning because we can look it up on search engines. We can watch videos that describe it. And so many times one video will not do it. I remember as a motorcycle rider, I am not technical in a mechanical sense. That had been my interest, I think I could have been great at it. But it was not my primary area of interest. And so when the opportunity in high school was there to take auto mechanics, it was not on my list of things to do. I had other things. I was looking more for the college preparatory. Why? Because this is what I had seen all the time. Both my parents were teachers. I had uncles and aunts that were teachers. I could be in my front yard and see kids walking to and from school. I could look from my front yard and see the high school. I could look from my front yard and see the elementary school that I would be attending. So I was geared for that. Other people, maybe not so much. But that is not the issue. The issue is not necessarily whether you do it the first time through, but the issue is doing it. At some point, things may make a difference. Your understanding may improve. Your motivation may improve. These are all things to look for. Sometimes as students, you might have a goal in mind. Ask your parents, if I do this, can I get that? If it is reasonable. And sometimes we just run into a factor of finances. Sometimes we can't pull it off with the budget. And we need to talk about that as well. Because many times, as I was watching television the other day, Byron Allen, who is now a billionaire, he's a comedian. He has several programs on TV. He owns the Weather Channel. He was the youngest comedian ever to appear on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. Many of you may be too young to remember that. But it was like late night talk TV. And he was talking about his mother raising him as a single parent. And so he knew early on that he wanted to understand business so that his mother would not have to sacrifice, so he wouldn't have to sacrifice, so his family would not have to sacrifice so much. He went to a grocery store and said, "Hire me." The manager said, "How old are you?" He said, 10. The manager said, "You're too young. I can't hire you." And as he was talking about this, there was an older individual, teenager probably, bagging groceries to go. And he put eggs into the carton. Byron Allen said to the manager, "I may be too young, but I'm smart enough to know that you don't put the eggs on the bottom." As he is leaving the grocery store, he sees a lady come in, and with her, she has a cart, and she brings it back, and it gives her a little coupon. Byron had the nerve to ask her, "What are you doing?" She said, "When you bring the cart back, it gives you a coupon. And you can, I think when you get 100, you could exchange it for food." 10-year-old Byron Allen figures out, man, there's carts all over this place. So he put himself to work. He went into that and was bringing carts in and carts in and carts in. And the satisfaction he got from being able to redeem the coupons for money fueled much of his dream. Find out what satisfies you. Find out what motivates you and use it to your advantage. He did things. He tried this and he tried that, but always with the eye of looking at something better. Right now, he is in talks with, and I think he and Tyler Perry are bidding to take back BET. And what do I mean by BET? BET is Black Entertainment Television, or Black Entertainment something. Anyway, the importance is it had been sold and now may come back into Black hands. This is very important, not just from the standpoint of the money that they can make, but also the message that they can send out. Alan is now in a position where he can influence much of what happens. Many of you listening are too young to remember these days, but talk to an older person about them. In the old days, we never saw Black people in movies, on TV, or anywhere else. And when we did, they were generally acting a buffoon, a clown, an idiot, or what have you, because these are the only roles that were there. They were subservient roles. We were butlers and janitors and things of that nature. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with that as a job. It's honest, and it gives you pay for honest work. I admire people that do that. I've done it myself. As a young kid, I can remember digging ditches. I can remember digging lines for sewer lines by hand with a pick and shovel. And that's the way it was. But we had other people in my very neighborhood. The next house over, there was a vacant lot between me and them. But it was a doctor. A doctor. Very few of them Black doctors existed. But they didn't show them on television. They showed us as some kind of clown, some person afraid of our shadow. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I really began looking into Black history and how it motivates and inspires others. This is one of the things that Byron is doing. But I don't care if you're in the first grade, the second, the third, the 12th, if you're in college or what have you. If that is your motivation, God bless you, because you can make a difference in this world. One of my differences is to educate people on Black life in America, in the world. And I started out looking for those exceptional people that excelled. And I found that there were so many of them that are hidden from our view. They don't appear in mainstream history books. Does not mean that they are not there, but we have to look at what's taking place in our history books. We see parents today, if we watch the news, if we listen to the radio, we will see that this parent group says, no, you cannot teach people about Black history, not because it's not there, not because it's not factual, but because little Johnny may be uncomfortable for a minute. But you want to talk uncomfortable. I was in my 50s when I learned about Nancy Monroe Gooch in California. Now, my thoughts and everything that I had been told basically told me that all the slaves were in the South picking cotton. And when I learned that before the war, this lady and her family all did remarkable things. They owned hundreds of acres of land. They were farming, fruit farmers. They had orchards, and they were selling fruit wholesale all over the state of California. Some of this information I didn't find out there. Some of the information I found out from heirs people that descended directly from her and her husband. And they are doing remarkable work at this time. At Coloma in El Dorado County in California, the land that they had was taken by eminent domain. Eminent domain, what is that? There are many of us that need to pursue law, and we sometimes wonder, well, what is it? Because we hear many terms that we don't understand. It's not that we can't understand them. It's the fact that we allow them to intimidate us. I don't know what that means. Well, look it up. If it is a legal term, you can still look it up on the internet. If it's a legal term, you can look it up in the law dictionary. And I have featured some of these on my blog site, which is AmazingBlackHistory.com. It's not a site only for black people. It's a site for everybody. Because until we understand that all of us are great and we have capabilities beyond what are allowed in everyday mainstream activities, we sometimes don't develop our full potential. We have children in grade school, middle school, high school, even college, that are afraid to ask questions because they don't want to appear dumb. I was one of those kids. I had questions. I stunted my own growth by not doing that. Not only do you help yourself, but you may frustrate your teacher for a minute or two. But when these questions come up again and again, the teacher will understand that we need to emphasize this. We need to look for a different way of doing this. This is what makes great teachers. As you go through school, look at the teachers that you learn the most from, not necessarily the ones that are the most fun, and fun can be a part of the equation, but look at those that for some reason allow you to learn. And I learned this in many cases. In fact, some of it I learned from my father. And my mother also taught school before she opened the restaurant. But there were lessons to be learned every day. And we sometimes have to allow ourselves to be open, to be honest. When you go into industry, many times you can waste your time, your talent, your efforts by not completely understanding what you're supposed to do. You're given an assignment, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I can do it, and you run off. But you don't have a complete understanding, and you may have an understanding of what was told to you, but is this the understanding that the person that gave you the instruction had? Sometimes it's necessary to take a few minutes and do this. Okay, here's my idea. I can do this and this and this. They said, no, we don't have time or we don't have whatever to do this. This is what I have in mind. Does that mean that that's what you do? No, sometimes you have to discuss it. And when you don't get to the point of empowerment and understanding that you need to do that. If I come to you and say, I want you to bake me a cherry pie, you could bake me a cherry pie. And I might say, it's great. But I also may say, it's not. Because you put a crust on it, I wanted a crumble crust or some other different detail. You may have made it too sweet for me. Not sweet enough. These are sometimes questions that get us crossways of people that we are dealing with. And it's incumbent. That means it's your responsibility to make sure that we are understanding each other, that we understand each other. Having worked, I've given people instructions, and they didn't fully understand it, or they didn't produce what I thought that they knew that what I wanted done. And it has come the other way. Sometimes we spend way too much time polishing something that doesn't need to be polished. Sometimes we just need a quick answer. And we have to be very careful about this. When I first went to work, somebody told me to do something and then said, ASAP. ASAP, what in the heck is that? I have no idea what it is. I'd never heard the term before. Then when I found out that it meant as soon as possible, I went through my little anger fit. Why give it to me and tell me as soon as possible? I'm going to do it as soon as possible. That's why I'm here. So sometimes even words that are not intended to can produce cross feelings. And sometimes we have to talk about these. And so I want you as children to understand that you have legitimate questions. You may not be able to get them all answered in a classroom, but you may find somebody that can tutor you. And sometimes, again, it comes to a matter of money. But we have kids, and my daughter would go to school. Her brother was 20 months younger than she was. And I should have recognized it instantly, but she could hardly wait to get home to teach him what she had learned. There are kids that maybe understand the concept and can help you, but they need to know that you need and want help. And you can't be a behind about it. You can't be a butt about it. You have to be somewhat reasonable. This is another way of checking something out. And for adults, same thing. You may find that as you are trying to set up a business, that there are times when the person that you want to talk to is just not available. They're busy. There may be times when they aren't. Sometimes you have to ask the question, you look very busy now. Is there a time later that I can talk to you? Sure. Come in 3:30. Usually things calm down. You go back. Maybe things didn't calm down, but you are still communicating. You're still solving the problems. And when we get at it, last week we talked about something that is extremely critical. We make a to-do list. And there are a couple of things that we want to make sure that we don't do with our to-do list. Load it down with too many things that we know we aren't accomplishing. Why? Because it is heartening. It's tough to see that you didn't get done everything you wanted to today. So what's the answer to that? Don't put so many items on the list. Well, I won't be making progress. Yes, you're making progress. You can adjust what you put on that list. If you find that you're making the list too easy, you can easily tighten it up a little bit. You can easily put a little more into it. But don't get yourself into the point of being continually frustrated because you only got one, a part of one, or maybe one or two, and you had 10 on the list. It's not fair. And when we look at that one, sometimes it's too big. It's like a giant meatball. We can't eat all of that. We can eventually do it, but we must take it into smaller and smaller steps that are manageable. Don't put a 40-hour task on your list for today because it's not going to happen. But can you take that and make 2, 3, 4, 5 small steps that you might be able to accomplish? We sometimes have a habit of waiting till the last minute to do something. How much better could you do if you started ahead of time, planned out where you intended to be and when, and worked towards that? That is a secret to success. Work on what you can work on. Work at a speed that is comfortable. And if that proves to be too slow, you know what to do. If it appears to be too much, cut it down. When you look at what you've done every day, you understand that you are making progress. May not be as fast as you want, but that's another question. How can I speed this up? It may be that you need to take a class. It may be that you need to talk to somebody. It may mean that you need to break it down into even smaller pieces so that you can completely digest it. I have read the Bible in a year. I've read it in 6 months. But I find a problem with both of those. At some point in time, I'm just calling words. I'm not learning anything. I find it better to learn in manageable chunks than just doing it for the sake of doing it. Some books I may be able to read fairly rapidly and feel that I'm understanding. Others, it may take me longer. Is it a race? No, it's not a race. It's a learning experience. These plans are put together with the best of intentions. But when I find myself in a point where I'm not getting out of it what I need to be getting out of it, it's time to review. And many of you have fallen prey to this. We have affirmations that we should have every day. What am I going to do? Do I want to do? What do I need to do? Who am I? What am I becoming? And we can come up with affirmations that we repeat to ourselves. Sometimes it is saying that we are the best. I attended a Toastmasters contest, and one of the speeches that left an indelible mark on me was a lady who was somewhat heavy, and she talked about being beautiful. She tells herself she's being beautiful, and she is. She's a beautiful person. But to many people, they look at size and not what's there. They don't see the inside. They don't look beyond the packaging that's there. She is a beautiful person, inside and out. But we sometimes overlook people because of things that they may not even be able to help. I remember one individual that was highly influential, but he had been shot in the face with a shotgun. His face was somewhat scarred, but when you look beyond that, you saw a very, very good friend, a person that would be willing to spend time with you and help you on problems. One of the reasons that I talk about the subjects that I do is because many times we cut people off because of what we think they are, what we think they may be like, without giving them a full chance. When I first went to work as a chemist, I had that thinking. Who in the world is going to help me? Because nobody here looks like me. I had run up into situations where people were saying, you don't act like the rest of them. Rest of who? Well, they were talking about black people. They didn't know how to talk about those subjects. And we sometimes run into it. I had not, to the best of my knowledge, talked to a person of Hispanic heritage. I had seen very few because the town was segregated. And we just didn't run in the same circles. I thought they were white people with brown skin. And at one point, that's the way the government had classified them. But when we don't know, we sometimes have a difficult task knowing what, where, why, or how to talk to another person. This often is a point of success. I look at a friend of mine who has done fabulously well in terms of wealth. And he runs a bus line. And he was saying one night, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he was washing the bus, washing it. And somebody drove by, spoke to him, called him by name. It was a banker who saw him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "This bus is going out at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it has to be ready. So I'm doing it." He could have hired somebody to do it, but in most cases, people didn't want to do it. But it had to be done. What did the man say? "Next time you get ready to buy a bus, come see me." He did. The man financed it. Sometimes our struggle is what gets us by. The fact that we are working gets us by. When I was a bricklayer, I learned a lesson from my father that served me very, very well. We laid brick, we laid block, and he said there's always something to do. Some people would sit around, nothing to do. We would go around, touch up joints or do something else. We were always doing something. We were piddling, and it wasn't gonna kill us. But I found that sometimes the entire crew had to travel out of town. I could stay because they knew I was going to work. They may have to go with the main crew, but they knew that they could leave me there to work and I would be doing something. Kids in school, you can make a reputation for yourself by doing your job. You can make a reputation for yourself by trying to do the work, being able to let people know when you don't understand something. This is not something to abuse. You don't go around and make it up just because you missed your assignment yesterday. Stand up, take responsibility for what you did or didn't do, and move on. It is a great habit to have throughout your life. You'd be surprised at how far that will take you. If you have a job that you just can't get your arms around because it's too much, if you haven't complained about every little thing that comes up, somebody may take you seriously, may look at it, may make significant changes to what is taking place. And I want you to know this. When I got to a point of working with governmental agencies, I often took a small notebook with me, one that I could put in my pocket, and I would write down the questions I want, because sometimes I'd get so frustrated with them. I'd want to be hostile, not the right people to be hostile with, because they can run you around. They can give you, and I'm not saying they do this maliciously, but sometimes just a little bit of help, a little word here or there may make a giant difference in what's taking place. Sometimes you need to learn how to talk to people. I have a friend that sometimes wants you to take a task and do it. For example, at a store or restaurant, don't ask them if they have it. Tell them what you want. Sometimes that ain't going to get you very far. Sometimes asking, explaining what you want or why you need it, you may get things that nobody else can get. So this is what I want you to understand. You need to do what you need to do before you do what you want to do. I had figured out something when I was in sixth grade. I could do my math homework, or I could stay after school 30 minutes, take 5 licks in my hand, and not have to do my homework. 5 minutes? I mean, 30 minutes after school? Nobody was home. My mother was working. My dad was working. They didn't know. Five licks in my hand, I could take that. No big deal. I mean, it sting for a minute, but that's about it. And I didn't have to do my work. Oh, man, I thought I had found the perfect solution until word got back to my dad. He didn't beat me or anything else, but I knew that look of disappointment on his face was not something I wanted to see repeated. There were times when rather than jumping up and down, yelling, shouting, screaming, he just showed me how to do it. This is a wonderful relationship. Parents, I want you to understand this. When we look at well-trained animals, go to a circus and watch a dog act or something. The way that they do this is they get people to, or they get the animals and reward them when they do what is right. They don't beat them when they're wrong. They reward them when they are right. We're finding that some of this goes along with AI. You know, they can teach robots to play soccer by rewarding them when they do what they want them to do. It's not going to hurt the robot to get beat, but the reward system is what often keeps us moving. We can do this in our everyday life. And I think this comes from those parts of the Bible, for example, that we hear. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Do you want somebody beating on you? This is what happened during times of slavery. People were beaten. There were even points at which if you tried to escape, there were certain punishments. And it came down to the fact that if you did it X number of times, they would cut an ear off. You did it again, they'd cut another ear off. You did it again, they'd cut a foot off. These are punishments, and often they don't have the intended consequences that the person was trying to do. When we are trying to learn something, and I learned this from my son, he treated himself on Friday. There were In-N-Out burgers, and if he had done what he intended to do during the week, we went to In-N-Out. It was a simple treat, but something that he could look forward to and put as a reward for what he had done. Now, I caution you about self-destructive rewards. You know, you don't necessarily get yourself a gallon of booze because you've done this and drink it all up and mess your system up, mess your thinking up, mess everything else up. You have to be careful about food or else you'll end up weighing 600 pounds. We have to be appropriate. We reward ourselves, we reward others. That's why we put down a list of what we intend to do. And I think it goes back to the treatment that we see for ourselves in our Bibles. Kindness. Kindness. And I know that this is probably going to send a couple of people into orbit. But I don't know that it's my job to punish people for what they do. I have heard to love one another as I have loved you. I don't see that many people getting struck in the behind with a bolt of lightning or things of the nature. That's beyond my pay grade, and I leave those things out. I may not like what you do, but I like you. I like you as a child of God. And I want you to understand that I talk to you about having confidence in yourself. And that confidence comes because the Lord's not going to put you in a position that you can't work yourself out of. Martin Luther King didn't go to school to learn to be a leader, or at least not in the sense that we talk about. But when offered the position, he took it because he knew that the Lord would give him what was necessary, lead him in the direction that he needed to go. The same thing with your ideas. The idea gives you the Lord gives you an idea. The universe gives you an idea. And you say, man, that's a big idea. The problem is that we see ourselves as too small to accomplish it. But why did we get that idea? Why were we blessed with that idea? Because we couldn't do it? Because it was going to be frustrating? Because it was going to be comedy? Because it was going to entertain somebody? No. It was going to give pleasure to someone who saw you overcome every obstacle there was and achieve success. Somebody was going to watch you overcome every obstacle that could be placed in your path and achieve success. We find that it makes you strong. Let's look at the butterfly. The butterfly is in a cocoon, and that butterfly has to struggle to get out of that cocoon. And well-meaning people may cut the cocoon open, but what happens? The butterfly has underdeveloped wings because they didn't go through the struggle. When we watch chickens being incubated and born, it takes all their strength to peck out of that shell. It's hard, but it gives them the muscles necessary to do what they need to do. It strengthens them. They have legs. They can walk very soon after birth, very, very soon after birth. They are given need. Don't think that you're any different. It may be intimidating to you, but it is something that you can accomplish. Have faith that you were given what you were needed. You may be sitting in a wheelchair. I have a grandson who is in a wheelchair now, and I am absolutely amazed by what he has done, the offers that have come his way. He just got back from California, where he was invited there to speak. He lives in Charlotte. I mean, it's not that far. We sometimes think that things good don't happen close to us. Student of my dad's not too long ago, and we are going to meet a guy by the name of Lee Haney. Lee Haney is 8-time Mr. Universe, a title Arnold Schwarzenegger held for 7 times. But when we talked, when I first met him, as he was a student of my dad's, he tells me of a lesson that he learned from my dad. My dad said, "What are you going to do?" And he laid it out to him. Lee laid it out to my dad, and he said, "You will succeed because you have a plan. You know what you want to do." Very successful in Atlanta. He's come out with different products, and I want to talk to him, and I'll have him on one of the shows at some point that's mutually convenient to both of us. But you must have a plan. See yourself as succeeding. When we talk about dreams, you have to see yourself as successful. You have to see yourself as successful. You have to have mentors. They don't have to be alive. But I have people that I have read about and I can call on. Oh, it's not a real conversation, but I look at the peace and quiet that they had. When I look at George Washington Carver, he would get up at 4 o'clock every morning and have time with his creator, time with God, plotting out what he was going to do that day. He didn't take a book into the laboratory with him. He took himself, his ideas, and God with him. World known, but alas, the story is not complete. We haven't given the full story of George Washington Carver. Most people don't know that story. It is more amazing than the fact that he made 300 products out of the peanut. When asked if he did his best work with the peanut, He said, no. And when you look at other work that he has done, you understand why. Most people think that the reason that he is associated with the peanut is because he made 300 products out of it. That's not the reason. But you need to study his life. You need to study it in detail. Once you do that, you will ask yourself the question, is there anything I can't do? Physically, I'm not sure that I could walk a tightrope across the Grand Canyon. I've seen somebody do it, know of somebody that has done it. It ain't me. But if I were told to do that, I think that I would develop many skills beyond my expectations. It's not for me to say, no, I can't. When we look at the life of Dr. Charles Stanley, who passed recently, listen to his story. Listen to what happened during his life, where he got his faith from, some of the things that he went through. We sometimes think that people that succeeded never went through a challenge. Never went through a challenge. George Washington Carver, scholarship to Highland College, based on his work in high school, got there. They said, oh, we didn't know you were black. Bye. He was defeated. He was down. But he had some other friends. He had white friends. And they encouraged him to go to Simpson College. At Simpson College, he excelled. But one of his teachers who really, really had a grasp on things said, George, I don't think a black man can succeed in art and piano. That's what he was majoring in. But you have such a talent with plants. Your paintings are so vibrant and so realistic. I think that botany may be the place for you. And he transferred to Iowa State. To transfer to Tuskegee, he had to take a pay cut, but he could see himself helping people. One of the reasons that he encouraged the growth of peanuts is because you could see the encroachment of the boll weevil coming. It was advancing at 100 to 200 miles per year, and it was going to devastate that crop. He said, if you grow sweet potatoes and peanuts, which both enrich the soil, which cotton was depleting, at least you'll have something to eat. That is still not the reason why he is associated with the peanut. It's a remarkable story. I'll tell it to you sometime. But I want you to dream. I want you to dream big. And I want you to understand that with you, faith in yourself, faith in God, faith in your Creator, you can cut it down to manageable chunks. Success is yours. The fact that you can even get an idea shows that somebody is tuned into you. You're tuned into something. You're tuned into something great. Ladies and gentlemen, the program that you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. And it is my goal to get off of this program soon enough that our next program can start on time. I want you to encourage other people to listen because I think that there are comments that and enrich their lives, and by them coming on and talking, asking questions, whatever, we can enrich everyone. That number, 646-668-8217, can be used on all Talking Drums programs. With that in mind, it's 5 minutes till. We'll give the opportunity for the program that comes on at 8. And those of you that are on, you can use the same connection to listen to that program. I know that you'll be blessed by it. I have been certainly blessed by being able to speak with you tonight. Again, the program is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. I also have a show that comes on Sunday at 4 using the same connection that you used on this one. It comes on at 4. And we talk about subjects affecting black life. positive, negative, but always realistic. And so with that, I hope that you will tune in. And again, you can use that same number. You can ask questions. You can disagree with me just as you can on this program. I look for more interaction. And with that, I want you to be blessed, my friends. Be blessed and join us and invite someone to join us next week. Be blessed. This is John C. Abercrombie, and hopefully you'll have a very, very blessed week. Good evening, my friends.